So hey there, people. Donna here, and I'm ready to do the next episode of Otaku Break. Well, it's been a while, people, I know. I'm sorry it's took so long, but I've had other things to do. I know, I got a social life. Who would have thunk it? As someone I know would say, social life? Where do you download that at? But yeah, I promise to try to get the next episode out a little faster, but I cannot promise anything. Damn it. Just contradicted myself. Anyway. In today's episode, I have a couple news topics for you. And then after that, I think I'm going to finish it up with a game review for a PC game that many of you might not know. But although if you're a PC gamer, you don't have too much to look forward to or look back to. And you probably do know. But nonetheless, it's a game review for a game that is sometimes thought to be a sleeper game, so just sit back and prepare to listen to this installment of Otaku Break.
Please hold, rerouting you to the news.
Well, hey there, people. And I will start off today's news topic with a question. What question, you may ask? A question of, why do you think the PS3 doesn't sell so well? Well, time's up in your guess. And I am pretty sure that you said the price. Am I correct? Yes? I think so. I can't really tell that one listener's what he said through it. So leave it in a comment. Yeah, leave it in a comment. Another probably unsuccessful attempt to try to get someone to leave a comment that... Yeah, seriously, I don't think we have any viewers. No one wants to leave a comment. I just want to know if someone is actually listening to me. Whether if I'm doing this all in vain. But anyway, enough of me talking to myself because no one else is listening. What was it? Oh yeah, PS3. Well, the PS3 price gets a lot of people, and I can understand the price getting to a lot of people. So, what could be a possible solution to this problem they have at hand? Possible price drop. And how will they do that, you may ask? Well, recently, some super secret spy footage. Spy footage has been released. And it's a person claiming they took pictures of a slim PS3 in production. Just like the PS2 Slim. And in these pictures, he shows a couple Japanese advertisements and a couple like production line pictures of a slim PS3. And if this is true, it could mean a possible price drop. But it's all rumors still. So if Sony has any word on it, they'd deny it like crazy. And who knows, maybe at E3 they'll talk about it some, which is coming up pretty soon. So for those of you who don't have a PS3 yet, cross your fingers and just hope for a slim PS3 with a price drop. Because if there is a price drop, it will help them out a lot, and a lot of people will be able to get it now. And be able to realize just what kind of console the PS3 is, and not go off of everybody's biased opinion. Because most of the people who walk around today, who talk all this crap on the PS3, never even played a PS3 to be able to talk anything on it. Because once you play it, it's pretty awesome. It's missing a couple things, but it also has a couple things that other ones are missing, so it balances out, and it's a pretty unique experience overall. But that's enough of my rant. Well, people, on to the next topic of the news. And I don't even know how to say this one. It's just another little gimmick type thing. Maybe it actually will sell. Who knows? I kind of thought the same thing with like Guitar Hero and stuff, and that seemed to do quite amazing. So, who knows how this one will do? Well, everybody knows that Tony Hawk game. The one they got up to, I think, 6 or 5. And then they said, oh, that number is too high. Let's start going with a different version of the title. And they went Tony Hawk Underground, and then he did Underground 2, and then I think they did 3, I can't remember. And then after that they did Tony Hawk Pro or something like that, I can't remember. And then some other company thought, hey, Tony Hawk did pretty good, let's get that and then change that around. And they made Skate. And then they made Skate 2. And then I think some other companies made some stuff, and it just keeps going in a vicious circle. Well, here comes the newest gimmick in skateboarding. The Tony Hawk skateboard. For his new game coming up called Ride. Okay, what this is, it's a little etchy on the whole, like, what platform it will be on, but it seems like it'll be a Wii game. It's probably going to come out for the others, though. But they've been mainly showing it for the Wii. And it's a Tony Hawk skateboard, and you link it up, and you ride the skateboard, and you pretty much play the game. And it's supposed to be like, have you ever seen that arcade at the game at the arcades with the whole skateboard setup thing? I don't know exactly what it is, but it's probably gonna be some crap like that. But from what it looks like, is you just like place the board on the ground, and then you like do the tricks. It's kind of like the Wii Fit board. Except you turn it sideways. But yeah, I think it's just another gimmick just to try to get some more people in, but maybe it'll do good. But like, if you think about it, these days for some reason games are getting towards more active, and I'm not gonna go pay $100 for a game to get me active whenever I could just go outside and get active myself. Like Wii Fit, why am I going to go buy like a $60, $70 board to stand on for something to show me how to do stuff when I could just take a lesson from Grandpa from the Boondocks and watch the 5-minute infomercials and get my workout from that? But seriously, there should be a line between gaming and sports activities. The next thing that you know they're going to be coming out with is the football practice dummies and the football Wiimote, where you toss the Wiimote at the TV. Oh wait, they already have that. Dang it. But anyway, yeah, people play games to get away from outside, or get away from normal life and all that kind of stuff as a form of escape and a form of relaxation. And that's just a certain point that they keep trying to cross, where they take that away from us. Hopefully that doesn't fully come over soon. But yeah. But Tony Hawk isn't the only one who's trying to get in on these gimmicks. Next person on the list, Microsoft. With what? With the new Microsoft 3D camera. So picture this. iToy. But with nothing else. So yeah, all in all, this 3D camera that Microsoft is coming up, that's supposed to be a big hit release thing they're coming up with at E3, is... I can't even say. All it is an iToy, pretty much, but for the 360. They claim all this extra 3D camera capturing utilities, but I don't know how much fun it will be just like watching yourself on the screen doing stuff. And just trying to grab bubbles as they fall, or or slap something around. I don't know, just a gimmick again. There's not much you can do with it unless they like go all out and crazy with it, but still, I've already been pissed off enough with the stupid camera with Viva Pinata trying to use the cards on it and they don't work half the time. Just another gimmick. Just another way to get a couple bucks. Eh. Well, anyway, my next topic is on the new game of Mass Effect 2, which is pretty big. I'm looking forward to it in my book. Well, I just have like a couple things related to the game, news-wise, and pretty interesting. So, people who have a Mass Effect 1 save, it actually affects this new game coming out. Like, for example, Rex, depending on what you decided to do with him, can affect whether he's even in this new game. And other things like that. There's also been talk of like your character level going over and everything like that, and just all this other stuff. And so supposedly your saves from the first one affect the new game that's coming out, which is pretty cool. And there hasn't been too much on it, but you know, on E3 they're going to be all out going with it. So expect for a pretty cool game. And those people who have Mass Effect 1 and who've beaten it and gotten all these things, they won't go unnoticed, and it should have an effect on the new one coming out. I just thought that was some pretty interesting news. I don't know about you, but I did. Because I thought it was a pretty cool game. I mean, like, it was kind of, I don't know, it's hard to explain it, but I thought it was pretty cool. I just wish that, like, a lot of the stuff didn't just look the exact same as the last armor you got, just a different color, like half the crap in that. I want just a little bit more difference between level, the highest level of armor and the lowest level of armor, instead of just a different freaking color of it. And then also I want different looking guns. See, what I want in a game is I want a whole bunch of variety of stuff. But these days that's hard to get. But. That's enough of me talking on that topic. Let's go to the next news subject. Well, jumping around in my news topics a little bit, I thought I'd throw a little news story that's quite funny for you. Well, if you haven't heard, recently a company called 3D Realms got closed down. Yeah, due to bad money issues, they got closed down recently. And if you know this company, if you know anything about them, their biggest claim to fame was a dream of a game that was coming out. And if you still don't know, I don't know how long you've been gaming for. Okay, this game, I'll just tell you, Duke Nukem, one of the biggest wish games that have been on the radar since however many years ago, 12 years ago, it's been in the making for 12 years, this game. And recently, they just got closed down, so that 12 years of process got deleted pretty much. Because of bad management and money issues at the company. Well, the company that was supporting them, Take-Two Interactive, they had no clue about this money failure that they were having. And they just kept feeding them money and just kept doing it over and over and over again. And just one day they get a notice that 3D Realms is closing down. Take-Two has no clue, and they're just freaked out about this. Because all the money they just put into this Duke Nukem game just all disappeared. So for the last 12 years, they've sent 3D Realms over $12 million. Probably it's about 14 almost. $14 million they sent them to make this game. And now they just find out their $14 million just disappeared because the company shut down. So now Take-Two Interactive is now suing 3D Realms. I don't know how well that's going to go, because probably the second they went through the door to go to 3D Realms, who are they going to give the court notice to? But anyway, so I just thought it's quite funny. Take-Two had no clue about this whole shutdown thing, and just out of nowhere, one day they shut down, and Take-Two is surprised out of their mind that they just lost 14 or 12 or whatever. I know it was easily over $12 million they spent on it, and it just all disappeared on a game that has been promised for over 12 years. And don't think it's just a marketing ploy. They're gone. And also, on a sadder side after the funny story, a company called Factor 5, they're the company who is the makers of a good Star Wars game, which is rare. But they're the company of a good Star Wars game, which you might know. It's called Rogue Squadron. In a sad note, they're closing down. Due to multiple losses and other things like that. Like, they were a pretty good company back in the day, but recently they came out with the game, or not recently, like a year ago, they came out with a bombshell for them, Lair. The dragon riding game for the PS3 where you use the 6-axis controller for it. But the only thing is it was like really messed up on the 6-axis controllers and pissed off a lot of people and just wasn't as good looking as people were hoping for it to be and kind of flopped like Haze. Which ruined a company too. But yeah, so that company is gone. Too bad. I was really hoping for a new Rogue Squadron game. Those games are fun. But we're just living in a time where one mess up in a game can break your whole company down. Which really sucks. But I guess that's the price of making a good game these days. Well, the next topic for my news segment comes to quite a shock for me. It's on a new highly anticipated game, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Let's break down the whole story. After the huge success in World at War of the co-op system and the competitive co-op, in this one they decided to take out co-op mode for Modern Warfare 2. I don't really know if that's a good choice, but I'm still gonna get the game no matter what. But co-op mode is pretty fun, although a lot of the achievements they took out and stuff like that you couldn't get in co-op mode, and they took out a lot of kind of story elements, but still, it was fun just going through the story co-op mode. And it was quite a bit of a shock for me, because I was just hoping to play that, like get on a couple friends and then just play with that. But hopefully they'll make up for it with a freaking kick-ass game. I know the multiplayer probably will be. And speaking of which, people, for all you one listeners out there, as soon as that Call of Duty site gets up, go on to it and sign up for it as fast as you can. Because what they have a tendency of doing is, for if you sign up near the beginning of their site launching, you get thrown onto the beta for free. So if you do this, you can get put into the beta, no problem. And it's totally worth it, usually. I know for 4 I was on for 5, and both of them are really awesome. So as soon as you get a chance, go onto their website and sign up for their beta. And you could play this game like at least 3 months early, usually, that's what it is. 3 months early you can play it. So don't forget and try to get on as soon as you can. Okay, next topic is about the trickster of gaming himself, Hideo Kojima. he's been known to do quite a few tricks in his games, like the trailer for Metal Gear Solid 4 that had the first-person shooter part in it and freaked everybody out in the beginning. And all his other hundreds of joke trailers and all that other stuff he has. Well, he's at it again in his new teaser website. And it's supposed to be regarding his new, or the new project they're working on. On the website, it's just a grass field with a timer in the center. And as of just a couple minutes or an hour ago or whatever it is, I looked at it. It was 83 hours left until whatever this site is activates. And you look at the site and it's a grass field with clear skies, but you hear thunder every once in a while. And when you hear the thunder, in the center of the screen there's a giant 5. What could this 5 mean? Metal Gear Solid 5, possibly? But when you think about it, Hideo Kojima's never that straightforward. So I think there's something else, just like the Metal Gear Solid for the iPhone. I hope it's not another stupid iPhone game or something like that. But I mean, just like that, though, how you couldn't really tell it was. It had the on symbol, and then it had the exclamation point, or I can't remember what it is. But it was just three little pictures, and that was all the teaser was. And oh yeah, it had the exclamation point, and then it had the I, and then it had the equals on sign. So, who knows? It could be anything, knowing him. So don't get your hopes too high for a new game, a new Metal Gear Solid game working on, but know that something soon will be happening. And that's my news on Hideo Kojima, the trickster of the day. And for my last topic in the news today, not too big, but it could be for a couple fanboys out there. A little well-known game known by Marvel vs. Capcom 2. A huge success on the Dreamcast. Huge success in the arcade. Well, it's going to be hitting the Xbox Live Arcade soon. And this news I have for you might just be the date of this game coming out. Okay, it's not the exact date, but it's a week span of it. Okay, you could expect this arcade-style fighter with everybody you love coming out the week of June 29th. It should be out that week on both Xbox Live Arcade and PS3 Arcade, or PS3 Live, or PNA, or I can't remember the exact thing of it, but I just call it PS3 Arcade. But you can expect it around that week, people. And then you can go online now. That's the new addition. They have online battles, and you can battle it out with your favorite Capcom or Marvel characters. You can go against, you could have Cable fighting little weakling Mega Man, or you can have Wolverine eating up serve bots. However you want to do it. Or Sevbots. Or the, I can't remember their name. The little yellow mega block looking people. But whatever they are, you can do it. So, I will see you online that week. And that's about it on my news. Now, it's time for the review.
Listen up, class. Quiet down. Time for the game review.
Okay, people, time for the review. Well, in today's episode, my review is going to be on Stalker Clear Sky. The sequel to the game, actually, it's a prequel, but it came after, we'll just say that, to the game Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl. And most of you probably know what Chernobyl is, so I'll talk about it whenever I get to the story element or whatever it is. But yeah, most of you probably haven't heard of this game, but it was kind of a sleeper hit, and it's actually decent once you get past some of the other stuff. I'll leave it other stuff until I get to that. But it's a Russian game, actually. And it's developed by GSE. And I guess let's start up the review. Okay, the story for this game is it takes place in the surrounding area of Chernobyl, such as Pripyat and other such places. And after the original incident in 86 of the Chernobyl meltdown, they start to repopulate the area with scientists and military and such things like that. But after 20 years of it rerunning and everything like that, guess what? Another explosion happens. But this time, the technology is far more advanced, so what happens leads to an area called the Zone. And in the Zone, due to the advanced technology, higher radiation levels occur from this nuclear meltdown. And it causes multiple people to mutate and actually form little monster type things, and a whole bunch of nuclear anomalies appear everywhere that have multiple effects on you. And in these games, you play the role of a stalker. Now, stalker is a term that came from an old book called Roadside Picnic. And what a stalker is a person who leads a person into the zone in the book. And what a stalker is in this one is, because after the whole nuclear meltdown the second time, the military decided to close down the area and they blocked it all off. But these people called stalkers, they decide to sneak into this because they're going to try to find these nuclear anomalies and try to go sell them as rare artifacts and get rich off of them. So it's just a whole bunch of people who are just loners and killers and murderers and robbers and all that kind of people just in here trying to find a quick buck by trying to find these, but they don't know what really is in here. And in the zone, people change. I mean, not necessarily everybody mutates, but some do, but I just mean people change and they become a loner. Now, if you ever played the last one, the main difference with this game is instead of playing the original loner character, you play as a different character called Scar. And this Scar guy finds out he's somewhat immune to the nuclear psi emissions that have started happening due to someone getting too close to the zone, or the power plant. Because once this power plant, it has started to grow a mind of its own. And now whenever someone gets too close and starts to find out the secrets that are within the center of the zone, it tries to protect itself by releasing major emission fallouts that would kill almost anybody who was out in the open and not inside of a lead bunker. So what you are is a person who is immune to these, so everybody wants to use you. But the main person you want to help is the scientist you find in the beginning. And the reason why you're trying to help them is because you also find out, along with your immunity to psi emissions, too many of these psi emissions will cause your brain to melt, pretty much, and fall out your ears. So you want to stop these as soon as possible. And you have to go and hunt down the guys who went into the zone. And that's the main story of it. But, okay, now let me do my analysis, I guess, of the story. The story is pretty cool. It's post-apocalyptic. Like, think of almost Fallout type stuff. Except with a lot less buildings and a lot less stuff and just a whole bunch of land and trees. But it is pretty cool when you go around historic landmarks and stuff, like when you go around the ruins of Pripyat and all those other different little cities, and you go around the red forest with the glowing trees. And that's real. There's a forest out there in Chernobyl due to so much radiation it was. The trees actually glowed on that day. Just a little information for you people out there. But the story is actually quite decent. It's hard as hell to follow, though. You gotta read every stupid little thing. And the story isn't just thrown straight at you like it is with most games these days, so modern gamers might be a little confused throughout the whole thing. But if you follow the papers and know some stuff about the original, you got it. You could follow it. Just don't expect everything to happen in a cutscene and tell you who you are and what you're looking for and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes you gotta read the papers. I'm sorry, you people. But not everything can be Call of Duty. Okay, let's go on to the gameplay, I guess. Because the story's pretty much handled. Gameplay. The gameplay is actually pretty good. What it is a first-person shooter. And actually with health at the bottom, not a regenerating health system. And with RPG elements. So what it is you go around doing quests for people, picking up items, going to get flash drives for people with hidden information on it and all such things. You know, you kill them, you could loot the bodies and steal their armor and take their ammo and take their health kits and guns and all such things. One of the major gameplay changes from the original is the faction war system, which is pretty much a whole bunch of different factions you can join. And with this faction, you can pretty much go take over territories and stuff. And that's the main difference between this and the last one, besides story elements. But I mean, actually, gameplay-wise, there's nothing really different except for that. Maybe a few quick changes, but nothing, like, serious. But, you know, I'm being really nice to this game right now. Okay, time to show the dark side of the world. Oh, wait, actually, let me finish. I got a couple other new things in this game. Weapon upgrading. You could actually upgrade your weapons in this game, because every once in a while you'll find a weapon mechanic. And with this weapon mechanic, they can upgrade your weapon in multiple ways. It's actually quite cool. You could put scopes, silencers, sights. Wait, scopes and sights, same thing. You could put extended magazines, and then you could fix the bolt mechanism, making it fire faster, fix the trigger. You could fix a whole bunch of things, do underslung grenade launchers, all kinds of things. It's actually pretty cool. The gameplay, shooting-wise, it handles pretty good. Everything handles pretty good on it. Kind of. And it works good. Think of maybe Fallout, I guess. Kind of like that type of game. Except with the VATs and third person, and yeah. Anyway, time to show the dark side of the moon. This game has to be the goddamn glitchiest game I've ever seen. When one glitch is healed, 28 more pop up in that corner. Another one is healed, 29 more pop up in another corner. And this game glitches just. Glitches are the game. Okay, let me just review some of the glitches. Still up and actually still going, yeah. A lot of this game won't play on Toshiba drives, because the protection system that they have on it to try to protect their game from being pirated won't let you. It won't think that it's the actual game's disc, and it won't let you play it. Easy way around it, it's a no CD crack, but still, why should you have to do that in a game? Another glitch. You'll notice if you ever play this, and that every once in a while, every couple hours probably, or now, because the patches have helped it a little bit, but originally it was like every 30 to 40 minutes, 20, if, actually about 20 minutes, the game would shut down saying such and such has stopped working, whatever, we're trying to fix the problem or whatever it is, that whole Windows pop-up thing, and it would do that like crazy, because this game has they sure do know how to put them glitches in. It would lock up every 20 minutes or so, and you'd have to start over again, or you'd have to start the game up again. Hopefully you quick save a lot, because you're going to have to, because this game is hard as hell. And it just has to close down every couple seconds. And then another bad thing about it is they had the bright idea of putting in weapon jamming. Now you think about it, that's actually pretty cool. That's not in most games.
It is not cool, and I want to slap the guy who created it, because every fire bullets, like if you have the gun and you fire two full clips in it, it'll fire somewhat decent in that, and then after that, every five bullets, your gun will jam. Every freaking five bullets, and it'll jam, and you have to reload there, and it takes a little while in the fight, and then you gotta jam, you shoot like three more, and you jam, and then you gotta shoot like five, and it'll jam again, and you shoot three, and it'll jam again, and it'll shoot five, and it'll jam again, and it just goes on in a vicious cycle like this. And it pisses me off. That's some of the gameplay gripes. And also the faction war system I was talking about earlier. It's pretty cool. When it works. The thing is, you can't take over little areas that was controlled by other units unless your faction comes there. Well, half the goddamn time your faction never wants to show up. They just want to sit there and say they're on their way and never come, and you'll just be sitting there for hours and hours and hours and hours. You could sit there forever, and they will still never come. And it just pisses me off, because that's what's supposed to be the new feature, yet it does nothing, because they never listen and never come at you. The new patch was supposed to fix this, and this new patch doesn't really do much to it. Maybe it's just my game, I don't know, but it's just, I know they never freaking came. Gosh. It can get really annoying at times when you're playing. But I just didn't really pay attention to that. After I saw it wasn't working for me, I just said screw that and just kept playing the game. And once you get the patches to work, and also you have to do a couple... If you want it to work a lot better, you have to find a couple mods and that'll fix it. And that whole shutdown crap will at least end a little bit faster. It won't happen as much. And mods also save this game quite a bit. But that being said, this game still seems to draw me freaking in. I don't know, I just love this game. I'm just a big fan of Russian culture, and just the whole idea of it, I just find it awesome, running around through the Red Forest in Pripyat and all the destroyed buildings and going through the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. But yes, gameplay, if you can get past the 5 billion glitches in this game, it's a pretty cool game. And the requirements for this game aren't too bad. They're mid-level, decent. If you can run... Let me think of a similar type game for the graphics and everything wise. If you can run... Let's say... If you can run Fallout, you can easily run this game. You can run it with DirectX 10, but I would suggest not doing it because it's still not working right on that game, even though it's been out for like a year. If you could, but yeah. So run it in usually about DirectX 9, and you should be fine. It could even run on DirectX 8. They don't really have high requirements for this game. It has really low requirements, or it could have really high requirements, whatever you want to play on. I will admit, if you do play on DirectX 10, for the little bit of time that it's working, this game looks quite beautiful. They implemented their god rays. If you know what that is, it's just pretty much sun shining. And also the rain looks pretty cool. Most people look kind of crappy, but it's still a pretty sexy game. But that's if you can make it past all the glitches, and if you could even start the game up, actually. But yeah, see, it's funny, they put in this protection unit thing to try to prevent people from pirating, but that just makes people pissed off and want to pirate the game, because it's so much easier to pirate this game than it is to buy it, it seems like. Because that stupid pirate, the pirate protection, the Tages, I believe it is, won't work on half the things because it's so strict and it thinks that it's not you're not playing the real game, so you gotta prove that you're innocent, because it thinks everybody's guilty. And that's why the no CD crack is getting so popular for this game. But that's enough about me griping. Now my final verdict on this game. Final verdict, this game, once you start playing it, you get addicted to it, and it's actually quite awesome. It's a little bit confusing, and whenever you're playing it, it seems like pretty stripped a lot of the times. Like in the actual areas, it looks like there's not much to it. I know what you're feeling, but it's still pretty fun running around with your AK out and just busting caps and mutants and other people just like far away and just sniping. It's pretty fun once you get to that. But the glitches are game breaking a lot of the time, and I have it's impossible to say that they're not annoying, and there's not few of them because there's an insane amount of them, and the gun jamming gets really freaking annoying also. But if you can find a way past that, and the best way to pass that is mods. You find some mods on just the internet and just search up Stalker Clear Sky mods, and you can find some pretty good ones that will help fix all that and the gun jamming and all that kind of crap. And you like a fun, difficult game, this is a pretty good game actually, if you could get past all that. And the whole setting I find interesting, not done too often, and also you're in another country. Pretty cool being in another country, just exploring the ruins of Chernobyl. How many people can say they've been to Chernobyl? Not me. Yet. I'm planning on going one day. Just wait. Me and my mutant babies. Anyway, my final verdict, cool game, if you can get past the glitches. And that's all I have to say about this game. Well, I guess that's the end of this show. Oh wait. I have one more news thing for you. Fallout 3. You thought it was over with Broken Steel, didn't you? Nope. Two more downloadable content things coming out. Point Look, and in Point Look you go to abandoned swampland, or you go to a swampland with the infected and all this other crap there. And there's supposed to be a whole bunch of new quests and content in the swampland area. But the better one I'm looking forward to is, I think it's called Alpha Zeta. And in Alpha Zeta, I'll try to remember the description for you. Aliens are back in Fallout 3, and they're pissed. See if you have what it takes to cut it out and make it through this. So yeah. The aliens. So apparently you get like abducted in this one, and you have to make it out of the alien spaceship and make it through the aliens and try to fight them all off, and that's probably going to be aliens now on the maps, with the alien blaster being common again, or being common now, and that's pretty awesome. I'm quite excited for this. And then also for all you PS3 users out there, all the original downloadable content is now coming out for the PS3 month by month, and then also these new two ones. And for all you people who haven't enjoyed Fallout 3 for some odd reason yet, just wait till October, because in October the Game of the Year edition comes out, and on this edition you get Fallout 3 and you get all 5 downloadable content packs. That's like a $100 deal right there. Or, I mean, that's like worth $100 right there, and you're getting it for just the price of Fallout. So, you could be enjoying everything that I had to pay, like, a total up to $100. So, if you're wanting to wait, just wait till then and get it. And it comes out in October, and it's for PC, PS3, and Xbox 360. It'll come out the Game of the Year edition. On the PC, it's going to be $49.99. Xbox 360, PS3, $59.99. And that was that last little snippet of news I had for you guys. Now, this is Aaron here, and I think I'm going to end this episode right here. Signing out on Otaku Break.
Well, hey there, people. Donut here again. And I just kind of listened to bits and pieces of that last review, and I kind of mellowed out some. And I'm sorry for that, I guess. That's why you don't do the recording over a couple day span. But too bad for you. I'm sorry I'm not going to re-record it. But just, I'll be better next time for you people. I know it. And on the next episode, it might be the big episode with both of us in it. I have no clue. We'll see what happens. But anyway, next episode, I'm going to try to review the new game that's coming out, Infamous, for the PS3. And just be ready for that crap. And hopefully it'll be a lot better on my end quality. I keep saying it's going to be, but I keep getting lazy. But I'll try to think about you guys whenever, or you person, or you nobody, actually, I'm talking to. The couple people who fell asleep on their keyboard and accidentally downloaded this. Those people, I will try to get a little bit better in my quality of the making. But knowing me, promises are not there. Well, Donut here, and I better catch someone. No, screw that crap. I don't know you guys are going to do anything. Anyway, if you care, if you want to, or if you're bored and need someone to game with, I'm always online almost. And you can catch me up on it on Xbox Live as PVT space Donut 001. Or you can catch me on the PlayStation Network at KGB_Donut. That's pretty much it, and I am now signing out on Otaku Break. Peace, bitches.